The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side, issue number 121, Radiant Black from Image Comics. John, how we doing? What was your favorite part of the show? Get right to it.
My favorite part is right now when you ask me this question that I'm never, ever, ever going to have an answer for. But we keep going through this every week.
We flew through this show.
We did.
It cooks. And then we get to WandaVision and Kryptonite, and that is pretty much half the show.
But it was a chunk.
It was a good chunk. So next week, do you think our WandaVision talk will be longer or shorter? The over under, because what do you think next week's show is going to
be over, right? Like, I think it's just going
to
be worse every week going forward. Like,
worse.
By episode 9, it'll just
be
the show.
It's not worse.
Well, not worse, but there's just going to be more to talk about each week.
Right.
I think from now until the end. So.
But we, in checkout this week, very interesting. We have, three books, and we have an interesting conversation about an AWA book that we haven't talked like this about before. So
we have not.
No. So, but Radiant Black number one from Image Comics, it is our title. So check out our review of that. And, hey, let's get them into the store. All right.
Let's get in there.
Hey, John, how are we doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. You are looking good. Your hair looks good. Are you using Gorilla Glue?
Yeah. One might think. It doesn't move.
Oh, if anybody has no idea what we're talking about, just Google Tessica and the Gorilla Glue.
Tessica the TikToker.
Yeah. I'm not on TikTok, but...
I'm not either, but...
Oh, my God. I heard that yesterday. I heard that story yesterday. We had a snowstorm coming in up here, so I drove Jen to work and then picked her up. And I heard it on the way home from driving her to work. And I replayed the story. I replayed it for her on the way home when I picked her up. And Jen was, like, livid. She was like,
"Yeah, oh, I'm enraged by it."
You can't. So, like, we'll fill everybody in while we're doing this. So, Tessica, she does TikTok videos or whatever, but you know, the very short version is she usually uses this one hairspray. She was out of that, and she decided to use Gorilla Glue spray.
Spray adhesive,
and she can't get it out of her hair. And that's one part of the story where you're just like, "Oh, okay," you know. But now, fast forward,
part of it doesn't infuriate.
She's suing Gorilla Glue. Because it doesn't say on the can, don't use in your hair, but it does say, don't put on your skin.
Even that part doesn't infuriate me because we live in a litigious society where
she won't win. There's no way.
For having hot coffee and things like that. So that even doesn't bother me. What enrages me is the fact that people stupider than her have donated, at this point, almost $14,000 to her GoFundMe campaign.
I could think of something else to say. Say fund.
Yeah.
It's like that's ridiculous.
And the fact that she's getting like flown to Los Angeles for free to get free medical care from a plastic, like there's so much about this thing that enrages me.
That's not what we're
here for.
No.
But
but it's a riot.
I can go down the like what's wrong with our society rabbit hole, and
we'll never come out of it.
Exactly.
You only want a podcast once a week, so let's stick to what we are. We're not even good at that, but let's stick to what we do.
All right.
All right. Let's get to some happy news. This is the Tessica the TikToker, which I noticed you put as your name this week.
I did. It was a toss up between that and Kmart Punisher. And I really couldn't decide which.
Kmart Punisher. What was that story?
It was on the Ralph Report.
I missed that one. When was that?
They were talking about, well, now we're going to bring this up on the podcast that nobody else cares about, but that story where Eddie was walking around in Michael's and got in that altercation with that guy that was yelling at people.
Because he just didn't back down to him.
Right, because he didn't back down. But Steve referred to him today as the Kmart Punisher.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was a small thing. But yeah, that was...
Yeah, it was small, but it was like, that was... Yeah.
Eddie's a pretty big guy.
He is. He's huge.
Yeah. So he's the type of guy that can stand up to somebody like that and have the guy go, oops. Right. Yeah. So, all right. Let's get to stuff that people know what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
What do we got? Let's say.
Hey, well, we have breaking.
Breaking.
News.
I've been sitting here waiting for you. You came in late. So is this that why you're late?
23 minute old breaking news, which. By the time everybody else hears this, it'll be a day old and everybody will already
Not really, because if people are already in bed, we record late at night.
That's true, maybe.
As you're waking up.
Gina Carano has been fired from The Mandalorian and all future Lucasfilm projects and will no longer be part of any Disney properties.
Why?
Based on her social media presence.
Did she say something recently, or is it just everything adding
up?
Yeah,
it popped up. No, it popped up again either yesterday or early this morning. I saw stuff where she was kind of back in the hot seat again for some of her comments on social media. And I don't follow her, and I don't know exactly what she said, and I honestly don't want to take a side one way or the other on this. Just reporting the news that she has been let go from the family-friendly Disney company. Who was, you know, not family friendly enough to rehire James Gunn for his past transgressions.
That was where I was going to go with this first. Like, how long do you think this lasts before people step up to her defense and they start saying, like, look, she has the right to her opinions, and I don't know what she said.
I don't know what she said either, but apparently some of it was pretty ugly to the point where I don't think in our cancel culture society that we live in now that she will be able to come back from this.
Yeah, maybe not.
At least not with Disney.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing is hers is like immediate, like it just happened. James Gunn got let go
James
for
Gunn
stuff he did
10 years
earlier, which is ridiculous.
Exactly. And apparently she sat down with Disney after the, you know, a couple of months ago when this first came up.
Okay.
And kind of was given the warning and, you know, issued an apology and said that, you know, she would veer away from this, but apparently has not.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah. So.
Well, we don't have to worry about a spinoff.
Like they always say, she fired herself. Well, it makes me wonder about the future of that Rangers of the Republic series, which there was no, like nobody had said she was going to be part of that to begin with. But
they could still
that
do
was
it.
The speculation that she was going to. Oh, I'm sure they'll still do the show.
Right.
It's just what will it look like? And we'll never know because we didn't know what it was going to look like to begin with. I'm sure they'll just go behind the scenes and retool the whole thing and, you know, we'll get what we get.
Yeah.
If she was even part of it in the first place, which nobody ever really confirmed.
Right.
It was just the speculation was that it would have to do with, you know, with her.
Yeah. So. Wow. Pretty good. Pretty breaking news. Look at that.
Breaking news. Yeah. Literally just saw that like when I was at dinner a few minutes ago.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So there's that.
Yep.
That was
we have that
news that I didn't plan on before I started podcasting.
Cool. Look at us flying by the seat of our pants, John.
Exactly.
What else you got?
Well, we're going to go into a couple of rumors.
Nice.
I'm going to preface these from now on as rumor.
Well, they should be because they're rumors.
When things are not fact, yeah. But we didn't. I didn't used to report them that way.
Oh, okay.
You know, it looks like
have you been getting a lot of getting called out for not facts or something? I mean,
by you mostly.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So,
by you. Sorry.
It looks like Disney Plus is rumored, in air quotes, to be working on a series based around Agent Wu. And so
that would be cool.
I'd be on board for that.
Yeah.
I would like to see him and Darcy team up together to do like an X-Files type show.
Is he in anything else, that actor, that you know of? That
I mean, not that I know of. I'm sure he
is. That's what I mean, that you know of, because I love the way he acts in this series, and
right now
we're getting more of him.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, exactly. I'm wondering if he's just trying to bring that to the character of Agent Wu, or if that's, like, just his personality coming through. Because there's a distinct, yeah. like, flavor to that character that he brings.
Oh, for and sure.
It's, I can't even describe it. I can't do it. It's very smooth, though. You know what yeah. I mean? It's pretty cool. But I'm just trying to figure out if that's him or if he's actually acting that out. So...
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to now. I'll be looking to find something that he's in yeah. so I can watch it.
And yeah, report back report next back. Week. You got homework.
Yeah,
that's what you want. All right. What's I like this right. next rumor though. I haven't
yeah,
heard
rumor
this
number
one.
Two. Yeah, rumor number two. It was reported this week that Keanu Reeves has been approached to star in a standalone Kraven the Hunter movie.
That's cool.
So, number one, I would love to have them be working on a standalone Kraven the Hunter movie to begin with. And then, you know, Keanu would just be the icing on the cake. Now, he's not the first person that comes to mind when I think of Kraven the Hunter.
Definitely not.
But I can see it, you know, like now
I
that
can,
I've put
but
thing,
I can't. And I'll tell you why.
I've put them both together. I could see.
Don't
it.
You feel like he's too thin? Because Kraven the Hunter has, to me, in my yeah, head, he's got more like Chris Hemsworth bulk.
Yeah.
And I don't see Keanu Reeves, at this stage of his life, being able to bulk up to look like Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
You know, he's more of a lanky fella.
He is.
And
he is,
I don't picture Kraven the Hunter as, you know Neo.
Yeah.
That's not the
yeah,
same.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah... in the world where we recast everybody in every character to be whatever we want them to be,
yeah.
I could see Keanu. I mean, I just like Keanu.
I love
enough
Keanu.
That I'd be okay with it.
I would. I think I liked The Rock. I think he would be good. Because he has that.
I mean, he's not busy.
No. So well, we have to put him. The only other one I was going to say is Dr. Joe.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, they're both, you know, they've got a little bit of extra
the
time.
The hardest working men in showbiz.
So. Dr. Joe is Kraven the Hunter. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
But no, I thought The Rock.
He can go around spoiling the second half of Harry Potter for you.
Yeah.
That's a superpower.
Right in the middle of a Spider-Man movie.
Yep. Hey, by the way.
No,
let me give you this dissertation on Snape.
He would spoil the rest of like the MCU or something.
Right. Hey, this is what's going to happen in my sequel movie. Oh. Part two of Kraven the Hunter.
Oh, sorry, Dr. Joe. Just didn't mean to bust on you there, buddy. That was fun.
I do everything deliberately.
Cast as the spoiler.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I thought John Cena, I don't think he's more of a comedic actor. I don't know if I think you and I talked about this before, as a matter of fact. I think if he were to play the role, I think it would take him putting in a good acting performance because we've never seen him act that well to be able to pull off that role. Whereas I think, you know, Dwayne Johnson could do it. Definitely. I think he could do it. And I mean, Keanu Reeves could definitely act the part, but I don't think he has, I don't see him as
he doesn't have the size. No. You're right. He doesn't have the stature for it, but,
And I'm sure there's a bunch of other younger people we're not even thinking of that could put on the size.
Oh, I'm sure there's
right?
all kinds. Yeah. There's all kinds of people that could probably do it. It's just, you know, again, that's why I quoted it with rumor.
Yeah.
Like, there's no confirmation that they're even working on this movie to begin with. So.
Yeah, but I think where there's smoke, there's fire with this one, because we're hearing more
usually,
and more of this that we're getting Kraven the Hunter at some point.
Yeah, usually.
So
I just don't know if that character is compelling enough to have his own movie, you know? You know, without Spider-Man to play off of, like, does he do enough on his own?
But we could have said that before about, like, Ant-Man or Doctor Strange or Guardians of the Galaxy.
I mean, anything if it's written well enough would be, can work. But
And one of the things, like you and I have always said, is that it's the lesser known characters that get a little bit more leeway in the theaters.
Well, because that's what I was going to say. I just don't know if this character has the name appeal.
Right.
Outside of the comic book world.
I think it could be a very popular movie that maybe fans like you and I would be like, but that's not even close to what it should be, So who knows? And that's why they could cast a Keanu Reeves. They get the name attached and you and I going, but you know what this reminds me of? Michael Keaton as Batman. Saying the same thing. I mean, Mr. Mom, Neo.
Well, yeah, that's what we said in 1988, right?
Exactly. So you never know. John, we've been wrong a couple times before.
Once or twice. Yep. Once or twice.
So,
all right. Casting news. It looks like Michelle Rodriguez and Justice Smith have been cast in the upcoming Dungeons & Dragons movie.
How do you make a movie about that? What's
Dungeons & Dragons?
Yeah, what?
It's called Game of Thrones, right? I mean, it's all you have to do is be in that setting where you have warriors and thieves.
They've already made them, right? Don't they?
They made a Dungeons and Dragons movie, a bad movie, years ago.
Okay.
I mean, this is not, I wouldn't say it's a remake or a reboot of that old movie.
Right.
It's just taking place with the property. There's a lot of story to Dungeons and Dragons, actually. It just depends on where they want to go with it. But I mean, you can cast you could call Game of Thrones Dungeons and Dragons if you wanted to,
they had Dungeons and Dragons.
Even The Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings, what I mean? Anything that has those
fantasy
type of
characters.
So it's really just, I think it's just the name recognition that comes with Dungeons and Dragons, and it's just going to be a generic sword and sorcery fantasy epic movie, what I mean? So.
Well, because I just thought, I've never played Dungeons and Dragons, but it's an imaginary game where you, right? Storytelling and everything like that. So I'm like, how do you make a movie out of that?
But there is lore and there's campaign settings and they have characters.
Okay.
There is stuff established in that world that they could, again, they could use or not use any of that. Like I said, I think you can get away with a very generic movie and just call it Dungeons and Dragons if you wanted to. I mean, nobody's going to be like getting ready to fight the dragon and pull out their bag of dice and roll for initiative before, before they start swinging.
Right. So, and I feel like a dog right now. Blah, 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 blah. What did you just say?
Oh,
they're going to roll the dice for what?
Well, I mean, you know what a dice is,
yes.
Right? And you know that they use them in Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
So you roll for initiative to see who goes first.
You
or the beast that you're fighting.
Oh, so, okay. I hear you.
Who strikes first?
Gotcha.
All right. Eternals director Chloe Zhao is working on a reboot of Dracula as a sci-fi Western. So.
Okay.
Yeah, there's that.
We should have opened that one.
In a world where we had, kind of like a reimagined retelling of The Invisible Man this year that, kind of worked.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see, what that means,
Yeah.
Going forward, but.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, if we have to have another Dracula movie, which I'm not convinced we do, this is different. Like, it's not what we've already seen a million times, Because, that's what you get. You've got 500 Robin Hood movies, and they're all the same movie. And, you've got all these, you name it, James Bond movies even, and they're all the same,
But, yeah.
So,
but Dracula as a sci-fi Western, comedy?
If I have to get a Dracula movie, I'd rather that than it just be a remake of the same story we've seen 10 times already, At least it's different. So, we'll see. speaking of things that we didn't ask for and don't really need, but we're getting anyway.
I don't know.
Looks like this HBO Max is working on a Velma. Yes, the Velma from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
an adult-oriented animated series starring Mindy Kaling as Velma.
Yeah.
So, I fresh off the success of Harley Quinn.
That's
like,
what I thought.
If Velma's running around, like, mm-hmm. you know, cursing people and calling them D-bags and all this other stuff.
I think it could be fun.
It might be, but...
Velma?
I don't know. Again, what's Velma without Daphne and Fred and and Shaggy, you know?
Who's saying like, they're not there? You just have her name. It didn't say that the rest of the gang isn't around. Just kind of like Harley Quinn, it's...
I mean, if it was billed as like an adult-themed Scooby-Doo, I'd be on board for that. But
right.
I don't know. Again, it's one of those things
thing
that I will watch.
Yep.
You know, if nothing but morbid curiosity, you know.
I'm definitely piqued. Because I think an adult theme, and that's why I think they're titling it or saying it's a Velma series, because I don't think that they want to put it, they don't want to give it the Scooby-Doo name because then it would be, right. it would attract the kids. And Pat, you know, but if you give it a different name, you'd be, oh, what, is that the Velma? Oh, it's an adult series. Never mind. It's not for you kids. Right. You know what I mean? Whereas if it was Scooby-Doo, the parents could plop their kids down in front of it and be like, what the hell did I just do? So,
yeah, what am I watching here?
Right. So I'm excited for it. I think that's pretty cool, especially off the success, like you said, of Harley Quinn and how that went over on it. That was on, well, obviously it was on DC Universe first.
Yeah, it was on DC Universe first, but...
But, yeah, that's...
Now it's part of HBO Max, yeah.
Right, and once it got there, everybody's like, hey, have you seen this new thing? It's great! And it's like, mm-hmm.
yeah. And I like Mindy Kaling.
Yeah.
I think she's funny. So.
Yeah, I think she has a great sense of humor, too, which I think could... An adult sense of humor. And I'm not saying it's crazy dirty, but...
Well, it's not. Yeah, they're not
right.
By adult. We're not saying it's X-rated or raunchy or anything, but it's.
But it's not
we'll
going to be
language
for kids
and adult themes, right?
Right. Yeah.
So,
all right. I found a couple of interesting things. Jack Schaefer, is that how you say her name? Jack J-A-C. She is.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, let me tell you. So she is.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying I don't know. Yeah,
yeah.
'Cause I don't know who it is.
It's J-A-C. Is how you say her name. Is that's
I would
how
imagine
it's,
Jack.
Yeah, Jack. Jack Schaefer. She's the showrunner for WandaVision. But did you know she also wrote Black Widow? The upcoming movie?
I like if you put a gun to my head, I wouldn't have been able to tell you that.
But maybe
but
you've heard it in your travels.
I did know that, yeah. I have actually heard that.
I think that's I saw that this week on Twitter and I was like, for what's going on, what we have going on in WandaVision, obviously. We'll get to more of that later. But that has me very hopeful how good Black Widow is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, different. I think they're different genres.
Yes.
You know, but yes.
But her story, good writing, she's the showrunner here.
Right. And good writing and good storytelling is still good storytelling. So, yes, I think.
Right.
You know, it ups the pedigree of that movie a little bit, knowing how good this has been.
Yeah, and it's... I'm going blank. It reminds me of who wrote Clone Wars and everything, and now he's doing Mandalorian with Jon Favreau.
Dave Filoni.
Dave Filoni. That's what it kind of reminded me of. I was like, you know, and if she wrote Black Widow, and how much now she's running... She had to have known they were doing both. When was... What... How much are they tied in together? I just thought it was very interesting to see that she did both of those. So thought that was pretty cool.
No, it is cool.
Brand new Snyder Cut trailer dropping on Sunday, Valentine's Day at 9:14 a.m. Pacific time.
9:14 a.m. All right.
Do you know what that means? Isn't that weird?
I don't know what the significance of that.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I'm sure it means something, but
September 14th. I can't think of anything. Why 9:14 a.m.? But that would be 12:14 out here Eastern time.
Yeah,
you know. So I don't know, but looking forward to
that. Yeah, I'm at that stage where I'm not watching any more trailers or anything because I'm just waiting for it to come out.
I know.
Although there are rumors now that there'll be like a second Snyder Cut.
The black and white
Will be black and white.
Yeah, there's that's I don't even know if that's a rumor anymore. I think that's pretty much been confirmed because he even said it himself. From everything, I haven't heard him say it, but all the reports are that he has said that he's going to release it in black and white as well. Right. And then there's all, if you follow along online, you can see why he's doing it and whatever.
Well, wasn't there a black and white like BVS or something?
I don't know about BVS. Am I
dreaming that?
No, I know Logan.
Okay, I thought that.
But there's a few movies like that. But
yeah, well, I know Logan for sure. But
yeah,
I thought again, I must be dreaming it. But I thought for some reason I thought there was a BVS black and white version. But
I haven't heard of it. And supposedly Jared Leto and Batman are in the same scene in the Snyder Cut. They have speaking lines together finally. That's the rumor of, and there's plenty of black and white pics of them circulating around social media, you know, scenes from the movies of them and, you know, Batman interrogating him or whatever he's going to be doing.
It's a different look than we've seen.
Yeah.
You know, with his Joker for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to
be. Yeah, apparently we're going to have three different visual versions of him in the Snyder Cut, is what I heard.
Well, he is the Joker.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it's a 4-hour movie. There's going to be a lot we haven't seen before. So, you know,
I would argue 3 hours at least of it we haven't seen before.
Well, I would imagine almost all of it. Because he's going to, what we have seen before, he's going to recolor, you know, re-edit. Right. And then the rest, you know, but actual stuff we have never, ever seen in any format is at least 2 hours, right? Or almost 2 hours. So
I would say, like, that's why I was saying, I would guess almost closer to 3 hours of it. Because the original movie was 2 hours and, 15 minutes or so?
Yeah. So it's 4 hours, so it would be 1 hour 45 extra.
Well, right, but most of what we saw the first time around wasn't his. It was Joss's, which won't be part of this movie at all. So I would say that, you know, at least 3/4 of what
we
get,
you're saying there's
stuff
being thrown out from the first.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A lot of stuff being thrown out and a lot more stuff being brought in. So I would say this is almost a brand new movie because he's not using anything that Whedon did.
Right.
So.
All right, cool. I would say, I was just thinking that Whedon took like and re-edited it, like colored it wrong, differently. I almost said wrong, but colored it didn't.
No, I think there was a lot of reshoots and stuff, though, that he did that aren't being used.
So. Tom Bellows messaged us and said, "Tell John thanks for recommending Palmer on Apple Plus. It was excellent.
Oh.
You guys should check out Ted Lasso on Apple Plus as well. Just an excellent
love person." Ted Lasso. Been trying to get this guy to watch.
I know.
Love Ted Lasso.
I was going to check out Palmer this week, but we didn't get it. I'll get into more of that and Real World. But yeah, I didn't really.
Yeah, Palmer was excellent too.
Yeah, he really liked it, and he wanted me to let you know because I say I will pass
messages
along.
Yes.
So
thank you,
and that should do it. That's all I have. You have anything? Any else breaking?
No.
Anybody
no
else
other breaking
been fired
news.
Or hired?
Not in the last 5 minutes.
Alrighty. All right. That was quick. That was a quick news week. Pretty good.
Well, this is, you know, I brought the goods last week. This week is a lot less.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, not too bad. I think we're going to make up for it at the end, though. I think WandaVision is going to be definitely a long, I don't know about a long kryptonite, but we're going to get into it in kryptonite tonight. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. You ready?
Yep.
All right. John, what am I going to spend my money on this week?
So we have Future State Teen Titans issue number 1 had a second printing come out today. So this was like the hot Future State book of the bunch a couple weeks ago. It's the first appearance of character called Red X. And even the second printing is getting plenty of interest now. It's selling for between $12 and $20. So you can pick one of those
up.
Did
you even like that book? Because you
like
Teen Titans.
I like Teen Titans a lot, but I didn't like the book.
Oh, that's too bad.
And then Future State Teen Titans issue number 2 came out today also with a Dustin Wynn variant cover. And this one also has red X on the cover. Excuse me. It's selling for between $10 and $15. I had a ton of people. I turned down several orders for this over the last week or so. Because, again, orders were locked in on this 3 weeks ago. And I don't know if there was a cover image or not when I ordered. But I ordered like 3 copies of this. And I had at least like 9 people looking for it.
Mm.
So.
You okay? You're going to make it?
Sorry. Yeah, I've been sick the last couple of days. So. Kind of
what, you
coming
got a cold?
The end of it. I just got, yeah, like the flu or something.
Oh, okay. COVID? You've been tested?
Well, I got tested last week, 2 weeks ago before my colonoscopy, but nice. I didn't get tested this week. No, I don't think it's COVID. It was just, you know, runny nose and cough.
Yeah.
No fever. not that anybody cares. G.I. Joe, Real American Hero. Number. We talk about a lot of stuff on here that nobody cares about but us. G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, number 278. Is a 1 in 10 variant here that for some reason is selling for double ratio. So about $20 for that. Then I don't order it, any of those, so I don't even know what it looks like. Haha, issue number 1 had a second printing that came out today. Yeah. A lot of copies here are selling right around cover price. But some people were listing them up to $13 or so on eBay. Couple of them have sold in the $7-$8 range, so wouldn't be surprised to see this one keep going up and probably see a third printing as well.
Cool.
Taskmaster issue number 3 had a 1 in 25 variant today that was selling for between multiple sales at $50 and several bids up at $40 on current auctions. So pretty much double ratio for that. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 114 has a 1 in 10 variant selling for between $15 and $18. So it's kind of right in line with all of their other 1 in 10s. And lastly, Wolverine Black, White, and Blood number 3, the 1 in 25 variant here is selling for between $35 and $40. That nice. Is it for Speculator Roundup.
All right, let's get into a back issue bonus.
So, Black Panther, World of Wakanda, issue number 1. This came out in 2017. So, you know, obviously we talked last week how they announced a Wakanda-based TV show for Disney+. Based on that and nothing else, no evidence that this book will have anything to do with whatever happens on that series. But
John, it has World of Wakanda right in the title.
I know. I mean, it has
that's
to be the
gotta
same.
Gotta be gold, right?
Right. selling for between $12 and $30 for the first printing, and then the 1 in 25 variant has jumped to a pretty high $100. So, Thor 459 is the first appearance of Thunderstrike, selling for about $25. Which is more than a first appearance of Thunderstrike should ever be worth. but rumors of him appearing somewhere in the MCU, I would imagine, is driving that. I don't remember if we talked about this last week or not, but Immortal Hulk number 43 came out last week. Actually, I don't think we talked about this. So I don't know if you guys remember a couple of years ago with X-Men Gold, issue number 1 and the kind of the controversy with that where the artist put in some kind of hateful imagery in one of the panels and got fired from the book and caused a bunch of people to want to buy X-Men Gold.
Right.
Well, same thing happened here. The artist here stuck in some anti-Semitic stuff into one of the panels in this book. And Marvel kind of issued a half-hearted recall on this. They didn't ask anybody to pull it from the shelves, but they did offer to send out reprinted copies for anybody that wanted that. But, you know, once again, controversy sells books, and like, no matter how gross it is, right? Like, I don't condone this in any way. And I don't know why people are after this book because of that. But be that as it may, all three covers of this are selling for between $15 and $20 a piece. So
yeah,
all my copies went to my regulars in their boxes, and that was it. Like, I'm not trying to profit off of hate speech, but it, you know, it is what it is. People are going to go after what they go after.
Well, they go after it. I don't think they go after it for the hate speech itself. I think they go after it because it becomes a rarity, and then that itself has a value.
It does, but like, I'd like to think I don't know, like, where does your where do your morals come in on that? Like,
right.
Like, as a person, like, you know, is the extra $10 on this book worth keeping that in your collection, knowing what,
right,
you know, kind of what was behind it, you know? And again, I'm not a soapboxy guy, and I'm not going to get up there and tell people what to do. But, like, I don't know. I think it's kind of gross, honestly.
Yeah.
All right. Daredevil number 26 came out a couple weeks ago.
A month ago. Because 27 came today.
Yep. Yeah, so... pricing is kind of all over the place on this book. Selling, you know, some are $8, $12. The Elektra variant cover, you know, is more in demand and selling for, you know, $15, $20 range. And then the Aliens variant is selling for a low of $4 and a high of $20. So it's like all over the place for this book. And I don't really know why. I guess it's because of the King in Black.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Tie-in. But, like, I haven't seen that kind of interest or movement with any of the other King in Black tie-in books. Like, nothing that crazy happened in this issue that, like, it should have that kind of spread. But I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a weird book. This kind of, like I said, it's kind of all over the place. On the right day, you can pick one up for cover price still, and then the next day it's $20.
Right.
So, and then last but not least, Micronauts issue number 8. This is the first appearance of Captain Universe. This is the Marvel adaptation of Micronauts. And so there's unconfirmed reports that Captain Universe is going to appear in the King in Black series. So that's that. I mean, that's why they call it speculating.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know where this is founded on. But this is selling for between $50 and $80. Once again, this book was probably like a dollar.
Right.
Might have been in like your five for a dollar bin. Like, buy this whole pound of comics for a dollar bin. That's what this was probably in.
Right.
and now it's like $80.
So, it might still be there, too.
Yeah, it might still be there. It might be in one of my dollar bins for all I know.
Yeah.
And that is it for Back Issue Bonus.
All right. Before we get to FOC, I wanted to ask you about a tweet I had seen this week, and I think I replied. I can't remember. But the tweet was regarding comics and the state of comics right now, and saying that the market is booming. And, you know, the speculation and, you know, the trading, it's through the roof right now because of everything that's going on with, you know, MCU. And they're like, but the market will reset. And, you know, comics will come back down to earth and the retailers will feel the brunt of it. And I'm like, and I, like I said, I don't know if I replied to it or not, because I might have typed it out and this and then been like, no, I thought better of it because I don't want to get into an argument with people. But I don't feel like talking to you. I don't think comics are booming.
Well, no. Well, they are. But here's why I don't necessarily agree with that statement, though. The collectible market in general is booming.
But that's not retailers, comics. Right.
Well, right, but I don't think they're talking about retailers.
No, they did. That's what they were saying. Like, the retailer, they were trying to say, like, the retailers are going to, it's going to, they were saying the retailers were making big money, and I'm...
Oh, retailers aren't making
big money.
No. Collectibles are booming right now.
Right.
You know, key issue comic books, you know, we talk about it all the time. They're skyrocketing. But it doesn't just, it's not just comic books. You know, it's Magic the Gathering cards, it's Pokemon cards, it's Star Wars toys. You know,
right.
These other things that I collect are also selling at crazy peak prices right now. I don't know that it's going to crash, though. That's the thing. Always there's dips in the markets, but once they reach like kind of the high highs, they don't usually crash all the way back down to like their pre gaining prices. You know what I mean? Like, if they've gone up, you know, if they've doubled in price, like, they might dip back down another 10%, but they're not going to go all the way back down
right
to where they were, you know, pre the dip. Now, retailers could pay the price for that if they crashed significantly, because retailers would be then buying at inflated prices to keep up and then maybe losing money down the line if the prices tanked. But for some reason, like, the collectibles in general are seeing crazy price increases right now. I think a lot of it has to do with people not spending money elsewhere where they would have been spending it before, and finding themselves with a little bit more disposable income because, like I said, they're not going to the movies, they're not going out to eat, they're not doing all kinds of things.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, I was just talking with Lydia about it at dinner, you know, like with my Magic cards, and like the prices that they're skyrocketing to right now are just insane, you know.
Right, so maybe there will be a lull when things go back because people will have all the stuff they need already.
Right, but let's say, like I said, I have a Magic card that was worth $100, and now it's worth, you know, like $250, let's say. Like, it might drop back down to $200, but it's not, I don't think we'll ever go back down to $100, you know.
They
just don't usually fall that far again because the market just... That becomes the new norm for those pieces, and, you know, or items. So I do agree that things are crazy booming right now when it comes to that. But that's not the retailer. Like, I'm not feeling the effects of that at all.
Right.
It's not like new issue comics
that
are booming like that.
And that was my point when I replied. It was like it's a lot of that stuff is after the retailer. It's all trading after the retailer, and the retailer doesn't really get the benefit of all of that. I mean, a little bit you do, but not to the boom that you see. Because you could sell a comic.
I'll pull something out of my back issues that was $1 and now it's $30. Yes, I did see, you know, obviously I benefited from that. But most of that trading isn't happening in the stores at the retail level. It's happening, you know, on Facebook groups and Marketplace and eBay and, you know, things like that. So,
yeah, I just thought it was interesting because it's, you know, it's not necessarily the store, because I know stores that have closed, you know, we know that. So it's like, I wouldn't say comics in general are booming. I would say
it's quite the opposite, actually.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
All right. You ready to get to FOC?
Sure.
All righty.
Hey, so Monday is President's Day.
So guess what, everybody?
So guess what that means? That means I had to do DC FOC 5 days early. So DC, once again, is already complete. So I don't have anything to report because there's no real need to report.
Thanks,
it.
Bin Laden.
It's already happened. Yeah, so we'll move away from DC to Diamond, which... doesn't make us do things 5 days early when there's a holiday. So from Image Comics, we have a book called Carmen, issue number 1. There's 3 covers available for that. Marvel didn't have any of their covers really ready for their variant covers, so there was nothing really to look at.
Okay.
But there's a few new things. They've got the Captain America Anniversary Tribute. They call it number 1, but it's just a one-shot, so
it's
a single issue. But there's 2 covers available for that. A new series, Children of the Atom, issue number 1, has multiple covers. And then Thor and Loki, Double Trouble, issue number 1. This is a 4-issue miniseries, and it has multiple covers. So for those that remember, Spider-Man and Venom, Double Trouble, came out like 2 years ago. This is really kid-based. You know, this is a kid-based comic. But that last one was a lot of fun, so this will probably be the same. From Boom, we have Firefly Brand New Verse, issue number 1, with multiple covers. This series that takes place like 25 years after Firefly, so it's a brand new cast of characters and group of people. And
has it been canceled yet? Lines.
Has not been canceled yet. It has to go 7 issues.
Oh, okay.
yeah. Got to get 7 weeks out of it or 7 months out of
right.
it. And then lastly, from Source Point Press, we have Cult of Dracula, issue number one. This is a 6-issue miniseries, and there's 2 covers for that. And that is it for our shortened FOC.
All right, we are cooking, cooking this week.
We are.
All right, let's get into checkout then.
All right, so did you read one or both of these books?
I read both of them. Actually, you want me to start off with my... I have one that isn't here that I'd like to mention. We'll do that, and then we can wrap up with the other ones because...
Yeah.
Critical Role Vox Machina? Machina?
Machina.
Machina?
Yeah.
Okay. Origins 3, number 1 from Dark Horse Comics. Have you ever read any of these before?
I read series 1 and 2, and I read this issue today.
Oh, you did?
So
yeah. Did you like it?
I did like it.
I really liked it.
I know all the characters, and I know where this is based off of, which is a Dungeons & Dragons campaign.
Okay.
Do you know the story of this
None,
at all?
None, but I liked the story so far.
Okay. So there is a group of voice actors that... would get together and play Dungeons and Dragons weekly.
Okay.
And they would do their characters in voices, you know, because they're voice actors. So they'd get into character and they'd play Dungeons and Dragons. And at some point during this, they started filming themselves doing this and putting it up on, like, YouTube. And it became, like, a thing. Like, it really took off. So these guys have now been playing... which now they do it on Twitch, but they've been playing, if you search Critical Role on Twitch, you'll find it. And there's like, they play like once a week. The videos are like 4 hours long because they, you know, they play these campaigns. And I've never watched them because like, I just don't have the time to delve into like these 4 hour weekly campaigns. As much as I would love to watch this, I never have.
Yeah.
But these guys have really taken off. And so they kickstarted this comic book a couple of years ago, the series one, and you know, again, it's just taken off from there. All the characters in this book are their D&D characters that they play.
Okay.
It's a ton of fun. I really enjoyed both the original, you know, both the first two series, and I liked this book today too.
Yeah, I thought, and as somebody that had, I had no idea what this was. I got the gist as I was like halfway through. I'm like, okay, there should be some backstory with this because I got like almost no introduction to anybody. Right. But I got enough that it's just a fun story. I loved the artwork. I saw it as a Dark Horse number one and was like, all right, I'll try that. And by the end of the book, I'm just like, it was just a lot of fun. And I want to read the next one, and now maybe go back and how long are the series?
6 issues or 8 issues maybe.
Okay.
Yeah,
fairly and quick read.
They're quick, and there was like each one of them is a graphic novel,
right?
So like if you picked up the volume one and volume two,
you're all caught up.
It's just one one graphic novel for each. So, you'll be all caught up. And yeah, there's world building that happens in volume one. You know, to kind of bring you into it if you weren't familiar with.
So is it the same writer and art? And so the writers are Matthew Mercer and Jody Hauser, and art by Olivia Sampson.
I feel like it's
all the same from the other series.
The art looks the same. Yeah, it looks the same as the other ones did.
Yeah, so. The art was really good. I liked it. Yeah. It feels like it's like half and half, like half like hand and half digital.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It has that kind of feel, if not all digital, to be honest with you. But it was a lot of fun. And it's very, like I said, it's just a simple story to get you into it. And but it was just, you know, entertaining.
Yeah.
You know? So it,
yeah, like I said, they're a lot of fun.
What would we say for anybody that hasn't read any of this? It's a group of people that are like, they're almost like mercenaries, right? They're looking to get paid. In this book,
well, if you're familiar with D&D at all, like it's your standard D&D party. You know, you've got your bard, you've got your warrior, you've got your magic user. But yeah, it's a fantasy setting. It's a fantasy group of characters.
You know what it reminded me of? Not being a D&D person, it reminded me a group of same idea, but it's like the A-Team.
Right,
like they're just a group of people out. Only the A-Team did it for like I think they did it for free, but they're looking to get paid.
Yeah, they, no, they're mercenaries.
They're mercenaries looking to get paid, but there's a job at the beginning that's not going to pay, and they're like, what are we doing that for? We need money, because they wanted more ale, which can't blame them. And then the way it ended.
But there was that really great spread of pages where they get paid, and the guy says, don't spend it all in one place, and then you get this, like, this
right.
two-page spread of like how they've blown through all of their money in one day.
Exactly, exactly.
Which was really cool.
Yeah, that was fun. But how it ended, is there anything there in the ending that's like a giveaway as what to come? Because it didn't really, like, I'm intrigued for the next book, but without giving it away, the ending, that is.
Oh,
there,
yeah. No, I don't
know.
I don't
know who
those
other people are that are in the foreground.
No.
Okay.
No,
I didn't
don't.
Know if you knew because you had the history. Because
no.
I was expecting, as I was reading that ending, I was expecting something big to happen. Like, okay, here we go. And it was just like, oh, all right. That, it's just exactly what you thought was going to happen. But right. like I said, that kind of sounds like it wasn't very good, but it was. It was good. It was a fun story.
Like I said, it's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're not familiar, reading the first two volumes definitely helps. But
it's not necessary.
It's not really necessary. You can just jump right in and read this. So don't feel like you have to just because it's like the third volume or whatever.
I'd say if you haven't read it, read this first and then go get your backstory. Because if this intrigues you enough, but if it doesn't, you'll have, I don't want to recommend reading a volume before the shorter, cheaper version.
Right.
So, all right, let's get to these. These are good too. Let's save the first one for last because I really want to have a conversation about that one.
Okay.
Not that I don't about the other one here.
Okay.
But
yeah, we'll see. You more than me, I guess. But we'll get there. We'll find out.
I think we're on the same board on that one.
All right. So the first book then is Radiant Black, issue number one from Image Comics. It was written by Kyle Higgins, had art by Marcelo Costa, cover art by Michael Cho. This is billed as for fans of Invincible and Power Rangers. Kyle Higgins has written, a bunch of series. And I definitely got an Invincible feel when I read this. Felt a lot like that series, which I love, Invincible. So, if this is honestly half as good as Invincible was, then it's going to be a treat. This kind of centers on a guy who's down on his luck. Says here he just turned 30. Reading the book, I didn't peg him as being that old, honestly. Things haven't worked out for him. He's failing at his job. He's got debt piling up. Forced to kind of move back home with his parents, which nobody wants to do at 30 years old. And then in true comic book fashion, he finds himself with superpowers, right? Don't know that necessarily he has powers or this suit that he finds himself in.
He finds a suit, yep.
Is giving him the powers. Yeah, we're not really sure. The way it happens is, it can only happen in comic books, right?
It felt like this book was a lot of backstory. And then, let me preface it with, I really liked the book.
Oh, I did too.
I really liked the book.
A lot.
So what I'm about to say is going to sound like it's a downer, but I think you'll even agree with me because you even said, like, in true comic book fashion, but it's like, I thought it was great storytelling right up until this point.
Right.
And you're like, it's almost like he realized I've only got 3 pages left and I got to do this. So it's like, bam, there it is. It's like, it was a little bit quick, but it is a comic book. I thought it was great storytelling up until then because you really felt for him and you felt like the depths he had sunk to. But where is this going to go now?
Right.
And what is he going to do with this?
I got a very Shazam / Greatest American Hero vibe from this.
Yes.
Because, he's with his best, well, I say best friend. He's with his old childhood friend when this happens and he gets his powers. And the friend obviously knows who he is and that he has these powers. And it was like very Shazam in the way that you know, he was trying to help him figure out how to use his power.
Can you do this?
Can you fly? Yeah. Are you bulletproof? You know, whatever. And it was kind of that feel, but also like the greatest American hero, because for those that are old enough to know what that was, you know, he finds himself with a suit that has all these powers, but he doesn't have the instruction manual, so he doesn't know how to do anything. And that's kind of what I got from this. And then there's kind of a twist at the end, and it looks like what happened to him didn't happen just to him. You know, he's going to have his, his nemesis as well.
I'll talk to you about that off air, because I also had a different take on that, a possibility. I agree with you that that's what it is. I think it is, but I'm wondering if it's also could be something else as well.
Right.
But we'll talk about that later.
But yeah, this was a lot of fun. Like I said, I thought the art was really good.
Yep.
I thought the storytelling was good. I've read other Kyle Higgins' work, and you know, he's always good. And like I said, it had a very invincible kind of style and feel to me. And again, there's no guarantee that comparison is going to continue, because they were done by different people. But you know, like I said, if this is anywhere near as good as Invincible was, it's going to be a great series.
Yeah.
So I recommend it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Definitely. All right. Let's get to this one.
All right. So the second book we both read is Casual Fling, issue number one. This is from AWA Comics. It was written by Jason Starr, had art by
Dalibor.
Let's see if I can get this. Dalibor
Talajic. Yeah.
Marco Lesko. This was exactly what I thought it was going to be. Like, they did not bury the lead at all with this, right? Like,
nope.
Exactly what you think this is all this is. And I was actually a little disappointed by that. Because, you know, you read the title Casual Fling.
Right.
And you think, okay, it's going to be that. But you're like, it can't just be that simple. There's going to be more to it. And it really was just that. Like, this was...
In this book.
To me, in this issue, right. Like, there's obviously going to be a twist. And there's a little bit of a twist at the end. But even that twist at the end wasn't all that surprising to me.
No, it's actually very cliche.
Yeah, like, this, again, was one of those books that was... And, you know, for AWA, it was just fine. You know, like, the art was good, the writing was fine, but there was no real hook or intrigue in this. Like, it just felt like I was watching an episode of, like, 90210 or something, you know?
Right.
It just, I don't know, felt very cliche to me. So I'm hoping, you know, this is a AWA, so it's only 4 or 5 issues. So I'm definitely going to read the next one and see if it picks up from there. But... like, it's all right there in the title. Like, everything that happens is in this book, you can get from the title. So,
right. So I got, as I was reading this book, and it's funny, you had mentioned with Radiant Black that, like, you know, textbook comic book happens in Radiant Black. Right. That never happens in Casual Fling. And the entire time you're waiting for that comic book spin on the Casual Fling. Right?
Right.
I thought that I liked the book, but the entire time I'm like, this isn't really a comic book story. It's not. It and I felt like it's only going to play to married adults that are really going to get the feel, because I thought he did a good job at writing, like, what goes on in this story. Like, I didn't
hate it either.
No, no, no. You know, but that's what I mean.
Like,
but
I didn't really dislike it either, but I didn't really like it either. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, you know, it was missing something, and it's missing that little piece of what, hopefully in book two, that's when I think we're going to get like that comic book thing that's going to happen. You know what I mean? Because cliche.
Even reading the synopsis that I have here, it just says, stalked and threatened with exposure, Jennifer attempts to unravel the identity of her tormentor. This, again, it just seems more like a movie of the week than a comic book. Like,
oh,
I don't
it's
think
like a Harlequin romance or something. It's like,
I don't think anything's going to happen in this series that's actually going to be comic book.
But see, you know, I'm holding out hope because it's AWA, and when she discovers who that tormentor is, because we don't know, I think there's going to be more to it that puts it into the AWA realm. That's all. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm giving them.
But again, it just felt to me like like an episode of Dallas or.
And I'll be honest with you, it's the first, and I liked it, but it is the first AWA letdown for me because it's like it's one of the. I feel like it's a narrow audience that's really going to appreciate it. And after that, even for people like you and I that can't appreciate it, we're like, it's kind of cliche. I need a little bit more, and we'll see in book two. And it is AWA, so I'll probably finish the whole thing anyways. But, thought it was a little bit of a letdown there by AWA, and I was really looking forward to this one.
Yeah, a bit of one here, too.
Yeah, it's probably a C+ for AWA.
Yep.
But, all right. What else did you read this week?
Hey, so I also read Last Witch number 2. Came out today.
Okay. I didn't see that
really
one.
Really liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I liked it, actually. You know, I really liked issue 1 when it came out a month or so ago. I talked about it. This is Boom. I didn't write any of this down, so I don't remember who the creative team is. Really liked issue 1. I was pretty happy to see issue 2 come out today, picked it up, and liked it just as much, if not more, than the first issue. I really like where the story is going. It has a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, it has a really good feel to it. The art is really good. The writing is really good. So I really recommend the series. If you haven't picked it up, there's only 2 issues so far, so it's definitely worth the read. And then I read Erratic number 3 also today. I don't know. I felt a little, I guess I don't remember exactly what happened at the end of number 2 because I was a little confused at the beginning of this.
You and me both. And maybe I'll tell you, mine's a little different, but go ahead.
Yeah. Maybe it's just me because I don't remember what happened, but I was like, really couldn't quite get what was going on here.
Right.
But as it, you know, as it kind of moved in the story, it's still good. Still a good series. I really like what they're doing with it. There's, you know, some mystery building up at school with, like, the principal and what's kind of going on there.
Yeah, principal's on a tear.
Then the I can't remember the character's name, but, like, your main character there. You know, he's met somebody that is going to try to help him with his powers. And, it's still good. There's only 2 more issues
scientist.
Left with this. Yeah, so it's kind of coming around the bend to the end. But it's been a really good series. Again, I really like the art and the writing. And this has been great. So
it's funny. Joe asked me what came out today that's good, and I said, "Oh, Erratic came out." He's like, "Which one's that?" And I was just about to read it, and I said, "Oh, it's the one with the robot at Christmas time."
Oh,
so
not the same.
We hang up the phone. I start reading it, and like you said, it's like it starts right in on the story, but it's like in this week's episode or whatever of Erratic, it doesn't start with the main character. It starts with that other girl in her home.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, I'm reading along and I was like, what is going on here? Where are the robots? And then when you finally get to it, and I'm like, I put it together that's the girl from school.
Different book.
I was like, oh, I text Joe. I go, oh, by the way, Erratic isn't the robot. That's the kid that only has powers for 10 minutes.
You were thinking of bite-sized.
Bite-sized, exactly. But I was like, oh, I'm reading too many books. Everything's blending. So I read Man's World number 2 came out last week. Did you read that?
It came out last week. I haven't read that.
It's good. That one picks up. We both liked 1.
Yeah.
And that one, it goes along, and let's say on 0 to 100 is what it, and the story's putzing along at about 50-60%, right? This book goes from like 50-60% to like 95% in like the last third of this book.
Yeah.
You're like, uh-oh, blank's getting real, and it's good. It's really good. Really enjoying that.
I need to get to that. I'm behind on that one.
Darth Vader number 10 and Star Wars number.
Didn't read that.
Number.
I read Star Wars from last week. Star Wars 11, I think, came out last week.
Yeah, yeah.
I read that last week. I read both the High Republic books. I read the IDW number one, and I read number
any
two.
Difference between the IDW and the new one?
It's just different characters.
Oh, okay. It's a different story?
Like, yeah, different story, all in the same. Like, all of these things, like the novel that I'm reading doesn't really intersect with the comic.
Okay.
The Marvel comic doesn't really intersect with the IDW comic. But it's all taking place in the same
time frame.
Kind of time frame, just from different perspectives. I mean, there is one crossover character from the novel to the comic, but so far that's it. But yeah, and even the novel that came out last week, kind of like the YA novel, again, will have a completely different cast of characters to it. But I'm enjoying all of it so far.
I haven't read those ones yet.
Yeah, I really like what they're doing with those. And like I said, I'm like halfway through the novel now, a little bit more than halfway through the novel, and I really like what they're doing there too. So,
cool.
That's been a lot of fun.
I think Star Wars is in a bit number 11. It's in a bit of a lull right now.
It is.
Something kind of cool happens with 3PO. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
3PO kind of has a little bit of a temper.
Yeah, and he had a little bit of a like a little deception going on.
Yeah.
You know, which I didn't think droids were capable of.
Exactly. That was pretty
cool.
But
yeah, that was kind
of
cool.
And that's why I say it's kind of a lull, because that was kind of the highlight. I mean, you have a little battle going on and stuff, but I think Vader number 10 is pretty cool. I'm really liking that story.
I haven't read Vader yet. That came out today. I didn't get to that. I read Daredevil today, though.
Yeah, I was going to get to that last. I think Daredevil's been so good for so long. I think that King in Black is kind of pulling it down a little bit.
Well, it doesn't belong there, honestly. I don't know why it had to be part of it. It's just because King in Black has to touch everything.
Right.
You know, they want it in all their books. So they kind of shoehorned it into Daredevil. Right.
Kind of future stated it.
Yeah, I don't think it really belongs there. But yeah, I'll be happy. Looks like next month we'll get back to
normal.
Kind of our non-King in Black stuff with Daredevil and
Should
be good. I mean, there was some good parts of this book, though. Like, I really liked the internal dialogue with Matt and Null.
Yes.
I thought that was pretty cool. It had a couple of good moments. But, yeah, overall, I don't think King in Black needs to be. Daredevil isn't, like, your cosmic level. You know, he's your street level hero.
No.
You know, and that's kind of what you want.
Although, he was pretty good in I did like the Daredevil character in War of the Realms. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Remember? And he took over for...
I'm trying to remember, but...
He took over for... what's his name?
Yeah. Heimdall.
Heimdall.
Yeah.
Because Heimdall can see everything, so Daredevil takes over for him, and he's blind.
That was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. But that's as far as I want to go with, like... him being into in space.
Right.
But I think you're right. The conversation, the internal dialogue that they had was really good, because I liked how Null, the conversation he had about religion and stuff, and then what he was saying, and then Daredevil's or Matt's response to it, I thought was really good, because it played both sides of it and how people deal with that stuff. So that was cool, but I felt like, come on, get me back to the to, you know, Zdarsky's writing, please.
Yeah, the street level stuff. That's kind of where that shines.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And that was about it today, I think. I read a bunch.
Yeah, that's it for me too. I didn't really read anything else. Yeah. That was a bunch for me this week too. I read quite a few books.
Yeah.
I read I didn't read it today, but since last week I read Noctera. Which is coming out in like 2 weeks. It was on FOC last Monday. I read it last.
How is it?
Last Monday. It's really good.
Oh yeah,
really good. Yeah.
Who wrote it?
Scott Snyder and Tony Daniel. Scott Snyder wrote it. Tony Daniel's doing the art. Art's phenomenal. The writing is great. Seems like an interesting story. So You know, you'll see it in about 2 weeks or so on the shelf. It's definitely worth picking up.
Cool. Cool. All right. You ready to get into Real World?
I am.
All right, John. Here we go.
Yeah, well, you'll be disappointed this week because it's not. I don't have a lot.
Me neither. It's a slow week for me.
I didn't watch a lot this week. Lydia worked on Thursday, which is usually one of our days that we watch a lot of TV, so I just watched Twitch all day, basically.
Oh, jeez.
And didn't watch a lot. So, but I did watch... I watched a couple of movies. I watched Lockdown, I think it was called. Anne Hathaway and Chiwetel Ejiofor or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
It's a COVID movie. They're locked down during COVID. And they're a married couple who were going to split up right before they got quarantined to live together. So, like, they know they're breaking up, but they
got locked in together.
Yeah, they're locked in together. And it was just kind of, it just moved along. You know, it was just one of those movies that nothing really exciting happened. It's a relationship kind of movie. They do get into a little bit of a thing at the end where there's, you know, a little bit of excitement that happens. But I don't know. I don't really recommend it. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't super memorable either.
I'm not a big fan of these. I hear there's more of them coming out, too, COVID-type movies where they're dealing.
Yeah, and I'm not and really I'm like, necessarily looking forward to them either, but... It was a new movie that I hadn't seen.
I had to live it. Why do I want to watch it?
And honestly, because the trailer for it, it kind of looks like a heist movie, really.
Oh, really?
Because they end up, it ends up where they're, you know, they're going to be stealing a diamond from Harrods department store. They're in England. This is taking place in England.
Yeah.
And so from the trailers, it felt a lot more like it was going to be like a heist movie, like an Ocean's 11 type of thing. But that really wasn't it at all. It really was like just their relationship for 80% of the movie. And I was kind of fooled into watching it because I thought it was going to be one thing and it really wasn't. So we watched that. And then I watched, actually just last night, I watched Bliss, which is the new movie on Amazon Prime with Owen Wilson and Salma Hayek.
Oh, okay.
Terrible movie.
Terrible.
Just really terrible.
Okay, avoid that.
Avoid it. It was kind of like a wannabe Christopher Nolan movie in some ways. Like, it was really one of those, you don't know what's real and, what's happening in his head and what's happening in real life and, like, which people are real. Like, he's on this drug called Bliss.
Bliss.
Yeah. That, you know, he I don't even know how to explain it.
I feel like I might have started that one.
Well, it just came out, like, 2 days ago or three days
ago.
Oh, did
it? Oh.
Yeah, it's brand new.
It even sounds like another movie.
Yeah, no, it's brand new on Amazon Prime. Like, it just dropped a couple of days ago, I think from Friday. Yeah, I don't know. Can't recommend it at all. I thought it was terrible.
Nice.
So, unfortunately, there was that. I started watching Tiny World on Apple Plus.
Oh, you like that?
On your recommendation. It? Yeah, I watched like three of them. They're only 30 minutes, so they were kind of easy to go through.
Looks gorgeous.
You know what it is because you told me about it. But it looks gorgeous. You know, it's one of those.
You feel 4K for the characters.
Blue Planet nature documentaries. You know, you kind of get invested in all these little critters that I felt really bad for the gecko or whatever that was like stuck on the tree in the hurricane.
Oh my God.
And it's like,
how about the poor dung beetle in episode one?
Yeah.
And his ball of dung.
And and like the hummingbird that got her nest swept away. Geez. So yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those things. I just started watching that. And that's it. I didn't watch anything else except for like my regular kind of weekly shows, you know, like the regular network shows. Obviously watched the Super Bowl on Sunday night.
What'd you think of that? I watched that too. Oh, well, I have it in my notes.
I mean, I was pretty pleased with it. I was rooting for Tom, so
yeah.
I thought it was not as good of a game as I was hoping it was going to be with those two teams. I thought it would actually be a little bit more of a shootout. It really kind of turned into a pretty one-sided game. But
if Mahomes could run in the other direction as well as he ran backwards, I mean, you got a game there.
You know, you kept, you know, and they said it several times during the broadcast, you kind of just kept waiting for Mahomes to bring him back into it.
Right.
Because he always does.
Yeah.
But it just didn't happen. And, you know, again, I'm a big Tom fan, so I was pretty happy with that. So.
Oh, yeah. Every time Mahomes threw it, like, as a Patriots fan, we're like, oh, somebody's going to catch that.
Yeah.
Because that's how it all, it just seemed
it
to happen
was,
that
yeah.
way. Did not always. We can't say always. He won six here, so.
Well, you know what I mean?
But you go to those, even remember the Seattle Super Bowl and that catch on the sidelines that Butler was on him and the thing's bouncing around and you're like, how did he catch that? And never mind the two Giants Super Bowls with miraculous endings for the Giants,
The helmet catch.
Catch, you know? So with those in mind, every time Mahomes threw it up, you had guys where it was like, it literally bounced off their face.
Right.
Like, you feel bad. You're like, Mahomes, like, what do I got to do?
It wasn't his day.
No.
No,
but that's what's funny is I had a discussion with Joe about, like, how hard it is to win a Super Bowl. And a lot of people in the New England area, I think, the younger.
They just think it's so easy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're like, you don't understand. And, like, even, like, a guy like Mahomes. He just won one last year, so he's like, I'm going to win another. Or you've heard other athletes say, like, we'll win another and then another. And then you're like, all right, there are people that have never won.
Yeah.
There are teams that are never won. You know, there's like, what is it, a list of like eight teams? Tom Brady has more Super Bowls than all eight of those teams combined. Because some of them have never won, and then a few others have won one.
He now has more Super Bowls than every team in the league.
Combined. Yeah,
right.
I think it's even more than that. But it's so hard to win a Super Bowl, and like guys like you and I growing up,
we're just spoiled.
Like,
yeah,
yeah, but growing
we're
up,
spoiled now, but we weren't. Yeah, we weren't for our whole life.
No, because we know you're like, oh, what it takes, and all of the, you know, I mean, 85, we were just happy to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And we knew we were going to get killed. And when they kicked the field goal to go up 3-0, we're like, yay, we're leading in the Super Bowl for 54 years.
54-3 or something like that.
Stupid. But it was actually 10 because after 10. Eason turtled a bunch and then Grogan came in and I think he got a touchdown. Threw a touchdown. But
it was crazy.
But anyway, so.
But yeah.
Watch that.
Yeah, I didn't really watch anything else. Of course, WandaVision, but we'll get to that.
Yeah,
we'll
get to that. And, all right, let me get to, I watched, we're still trucking along with Game of Thrones. We're almost done with season two. We're really enjoying that. Have you checked out Resident Alien yet?
I did watch that, yes. I watched the first two episodes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I haven't seen three yet. I think it just came out. It was
must have just came out. But yeah, when
today,
I watched one, I watched it last Thursday, I guess, after you talked about it, and two was already there. So I watched both of them back to back.
Yeah, you like
it? Yeah,
it
was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Alan Tudyk, he's great.
Yeah,
I was talking
he's really
my,
good.
I was talking with my in-laws about it, and they're like, ah, I don't know. I'm like, oh, Alan Tudyk's awesome.
he's super fun.
Yeah. Oh, his expressions and everything, and him trying to learn the language.
That was good.
Yeah. Why do I care? Oh, it was great. The movie I'm doing this week for home theater... District 9? Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Oh. You should pick up the 4K.
Yeah.
Really good. Really good. Because
I didn't love the movie.
Really?
But, yeah.
I really liked the movie. But in 4K, I felt like it was a lot better because I go over it this week in the podcast. But the way, you know how it's shot, like, with the different mediums? Like, you have documentary style news footage and then the real footage. So with the better, you know, resolution, you're getting a better difference between each one. I thought that, but I liked the movie anyways. The movie itself I thought was really good. The other thing I watched, and we'll get into it when we get to WandaVision, is Age of Ultron, Avengers Age of Ultron. I rewatched that this week. So that was fun because there's a lot in that. Not a lot, but there's little things you start to point at that you're like, oh, maybe, could that mean something? Are they going back? Are they using any of that? So we'll talk about that in a little bit. And that should just about do it because we had a slow week as well. Jen and I didn't really sit down to watch a ton. So,
yeah.
But we wanted to get to that Palmer, but I can't remember. Oh, we got sidetracked Sunday morning. We were going to watch it when we were Sunday morning, but we ended up having to do a bunch of stuff Sunday. So, but we'll catch that soon.
Yeah, still recommend that though. That was good.
Yeah. All right. All right. You're ready to get to WandaVision then? Spoiler free.
Sure. Yeah.
WandaVision.
Spoiler free, John. It's so hard, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't have anything to say, really.
It's like, it's a good show. All right, thank you.
Yeah, because at this point, you're five episodes in. Just watch it, you know.
It just, I know. It's so funny.
It's great. Here's what I'll say, spoiler free, because it doesn't have spoilers in it. Because
it's an audio podcast.
Well, but I was talking about this with somebody at the store today. Like, the format of this show, I think, is very unique to only this show. You know what I mean? Like, nothing we got so far in the MCU was like a mystery, you know, where you had something that you had to break down like this show and talk about. And I think we're not going to get it going forward really either. Like, I can't imagine next month when we start watching Falcon and Winter Soldier that we're going to go from week to week with all of these questions. Like, it's just going to be, oh, they punched a bunch of guys this week. Next week, they're going to punch a bunch of guys. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't imagine that it's going to be. I think this show is turning out to be very unique in the MCU, and I don't know that they're going to continue with any of the other shows with this format, but I really like, I said it going into this show before it even started, that this was the one I was kind of the most excited for.
Right.
And I think, you know, halfway through, it's going to pan out and actually be one of the more special ones. Like, and again, I don't want to take anything away from Falcon and Winter Soldier that I haven't even seen yet, so I can't say whether it's good or bad, but like, I just don't think it's going to have the same kind of appeal that to me that this show has. Like, I think this is going to be something special in the end.
So
when they're done with
it.
So
do you you don't think Falcon and Winter Soldier, they're going to try and manipulate the MCU the way they have here?
I don't think so. Like, I think it's just going to be more of a, I feel like it's going to be just more of a straight up like one of the movies, you know, like you're going to have your protagonist, which in this case is Baron Zemo, and he's going to be trying to do his thing and they're going to be trying to stop him. You know, I just don't think it's going to have, like, we're not going to go into it week by week saying, well, I wonder who is Baron Zemo, you know, like, who is the big bad in this? And
right.
Like, what's really going on, you know? And, I just feel like it'll be a lot more straightforward. Like, it is going to be an adventure show and it's just going to follow the formula. And I think, the other one that has potential to be similar to WandaVision could be Loki, you know?
Yes.
Because there might be some stuff going on there that's some misdirection. But, like, I would imagine once we get to, like, the She-Hulk show or whatever, like, they're not going to be trying to rewrite the MCU with that. You know, it's just going to be a fun show that you're going to watch every week. And, you know, like The Mandalorian or whatever, you know, like, you talked about every episode every week as they happened, but there was no real big mysteries or, you know what I
right.
mean? It was just like,
well,
every week they had an adventure, and then the next week they had an adventure. And I think most of their shows will follow that format, but this one is very different than anything they've done. And like I said, I think different than most of the stuff they're going to do. And I really, so far, have been enjoying that. Like, I kind of joked at the beginning of this that I'm kind of done trying to come up with theories, because every week I have a theory and then the next week comes and it really kind of just blows my theory out of the water. So
yeah, but that's now the fun. Just, it's like,
I'm just here for the ride now. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'm going to watch it and see what happens. And I'm done trying to unravel the big conspiracy. I'm just going to watch it unfold like everybody else.
Well, there goes the podcast.
And see what happens, you know. I mean, I still have thoughts.
Right, right.
You know?
Well,
I mean,
we'll get to that. But do you think that because of this that Falcon and Winter Soldier could maybe suffer let down by comparison?
Maybe, because it was supposed to come first once upon a time, you know? And it might have been like, oh, you know, we have this, and it was great, but now we have WandaVision, and it's better. But now you're starting with WandaVision, and you're like, oh, and we have Falcon and Winter Soldier, and it's pretty good. Not as good as what you just watched.
Exactly. Like, you, I feel like, just by the trailer, now, did we get the date, or did we know that ahead of the Super Bowl? Did the Super Bowl release the date for it?
No, I think we knew the date for this one.
I wasn't sure if Falcon and Winter Soldier.
But we didn't know for Loki. Loki, we know is just May.
Right.
But I thought when we talked about the dates, I thought you had that list a few weeks ago.
I can't remember. I can't keep them on track.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
Getting moved.
I thought we had the date for this one.
Yeah. But we get a week off, and that's it. Right. I tweeted that out. We get one Friday off after WandaVision, and then went right back at it with Falcon and Winter Soldier. And that's, judging by the trailer, yes, you and I were going to enjoy it, but
for sure.
I have a feeling that the social media outcry, it could be a letdown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just by comparison, because you're right.
Well, I don't know, because again, maybe not, because there's a lot of people that don't like what they're doing with WandaVision. And they may love Falcon and Winter Soldier because it's a lot more, it's a lot less cerebral, you know, like there's not as much action. Like there's really nothing happening in WandaVision.
Right.
There was a little bit this week, but still nothing compared to even the trailers for Falcon and Winter Soldier. Like, you know, they're riding underneath trains and, you know, doing all kinds of stuff. And we haven't seen anything like that.
It's like
so there's a lot of people that will prefer that and may like it a lot better than WandaVision.
Right. But I felt like Falcon and Winter Soldier is going to be like the Odd Couple buddy cop movie type.
Yeah, it's, you know, yeah, like, Lethal Weapon.
It looked like they were in therapy there when they were talking.
Yeah, it did.
It's like, and that, what was the show? There was a show where two cops, they were partnered together and they had to go to therapy together or something. We watched it as a family. It only had one season.
I do remember what you're talking about. Yeah, but I don't remember the name.
One of the guys is one of the cops. He was actually in the first Avengers movie. He's the pilot or something of the helicarrier.
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, you'll see. I can't remember the name of the show, but he's there. But anyways, yeah, I just think that it has a chance to be a letdown. But I think what WandaVision is doing and changing the MCU. I was talking with my brother about it the other day, and how it's making people, you're seeing people on social media saying they're going back and watching the entire MCU again. And you and I talked about that a couple of weeks ago, but now you're actually hearing other people say it. And it's crazy what they've done. And we're only halfway through.
Yeah.
Really? Five episodes. We got four left. And who know? And every episode, like you said, changes everything all over again.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's like once you come up with a theory, even in an episode, you're like, Joe and I have paused the episodes. We're like, all right, now what's going on here?
Right.
It's so we'll get into all of that in a few minutes. You got anything else spoiler free? I know how much you love talking it.
No, not really. Like I said, it's just I
know.
I don't have much else to say about it at this point, spoiler free. Because if you're not watching it by now, you're five episodes in, all I can say is watch it. You know?
Right. I honestly think that this is the textbook show that really you shouldn't binge it. This, like, Joe and I have paused the shows themselves to have a chat. Because we're like, what do you think is happening here? But see what that said there, and now they're saying this here. This is that show that really needs that talk week to week, I think.
A lot of the fun of this show would go away if we could just watch it all at once.
Right. If this came out like Cobra Kai and we watched it on a Friday or over a weekend and then we came back in and you'd be like, well, that was great. Well, what'd you think after episode one? Well, I thought I was going to push play on episode two.
Right.
It's like,
yeah, right. Because a show like even Falcon Winter Soldier that we keep talking like we know and we don't, but or like The Mandalorian or something like that. Those are all shows that you could have binged them all at once and,
right,
you know, it would have been fine. But yeah, part of the fun of this show has been spending the week trying to figure out what you just watched and trying to digest it all and, you know, like you said, come up with your theories or what have you. And you don't get that when you just, like you said, there's no need to guess what's going to happen next if you can just hit play and see it.
Right. Know?
And then honestly, like, it's 9 30-minute episode, so it's just like one Snyder cut away from being the whole thing.
Right.
You know, it's just one afternoon. And I think it would suffer a little bit by not having that. Because again, once this is all done in 4 weeks, people coming to it later on will not have the, I mean, you can always, I guess, give yourself the option and only watch it once a week, but who's going to do that?
Especially this show.
Yeah, you know, going forward, like, people that watch it after the fact are always just going to get it all at once, and I don't know if it'll have the same, it'll have the same amount of fun when you watch it that way.
Right.
So.
Right. All right. That's it. Let's get to it. We'll wrap up the show. You can find John and I on Twitter @brightside_chat, or you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. I will forward all messages on to John, let him know how you're feeling, what you're thinking about. Because he's so interested. You should see him right now.
I know, I'm so into it.
And you can find this podcast and all the other podcasts at nerdylegion.com, proud members. Great podcasts over there. A bunch of topics ranging from wrestling and comics and home theater, John. This is a good home theater one. You should check it out.
I heard about that.
Yeah, you should. Maybe I'll have you on sometime.
Fourth time.
Yeah, exactly. But it's been a while. When was the last time you were? Oh, Star Wars.
Yeah.
We did Star Wars, of course.
Your anniversary show, I guess.
Yeah, it was the anniversary show. That's right. All right. That will do it for this week. That was a quick one, but we still have more to do. So, if you're not going to stick around for Kryptonite because you're waiting to binge WandaVision against our wishes, we'll check you out next week.
Autobots, roll out.
Hey, Fred. All right, is that door all nice and locked up?
It is locked.
It's funny how you turn the key the same way every week. Same jingle, same everything. You're so good at it.
I'm nothing if not consistent.
All right. Now, WandaVision spoilers. Here we go. Where do you want to start? Well, I got a question for you.
All right.
Can Vision be dead? Now, I mean that not in the context of the show, but he's a bot.
Well, I guess in the
can't be dead. He's not alive in the first place.
Yeah, I was in the philosophical sense, he was never truly alive, so he can't be truly dead.
Right.
My question is this. Does Vision exist only in Westview? Like, can he walk through?
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, can he walk out?
I think
because
so.
I don't know if he is. Well, here's where I have conflicts in my own thinking on this. Because on the one hand, I feel like she has brought him back to life, and he can only exist there. But on the other hand, he has now started to develop independent thought that she's not putting in his head. So I actually don't know what's going on with him.
See, that's the thing is, we had that in this episode where he says to her, he goes, "You can't manipulate me like you manipulate others."
Right.
And her immediate response is, "Can't I?"
Right.
Because while she can't get into his head and manipulate him, and she also can't do it to the two boys either.
Right.
As they showed where she tries to get them to go to sleep. She tries to tell, you know, she has to treat them like anybody would treat anybody. You can't manipulate them. But I think what they're showing you is that it looks like she's manipulating everything around them, and that's her way of manipulating them. You see what I mean? So, like,
yeah, manipulating them into situations where they do what she wants.
Right. Like, stay there. But here's right. where I think he can walk out is because when Monica came out. So, all right, let's back up a second. Let's assume, we'll go with the storyline, that she did go into S.W.O.R.D. She did right. take Vision.
Right.
Bring him there, where, you know, Westview. Turn right. him, you know, make him alive again.
Right.
Well, now, okay, that's that part. Now let's go to the part with Monica comes in. She manipulates Monica's outfit, the bulletproof vest, which we see in this episode, is now that 70s garb.
Right.
Right? But when she came out, it stayed that garb, but was now the original, you know, it was still the bulletproof vest. But well, when right, it came out, it remains that. So he would come out and remain the way he is.
Right. She's manipulating matter in a real sense.
Correct.
Right. So, yes, what she did with those with that clothing persisted outside of Westview. But she didn't manufacture Vision's body. Vision's body she took from S.W.O.R.D. So she didn't alter that to make it real. My thinking is, is she using her powers to animate his dead body?
No, I don't think so.
Because, you know, there is that scene in episode 4, I believe, where, you know, she turns around and catches that glimpse of him and he's dead. You know what I mean?
Right.
She sees his, basically his corpse body and not his,
right,
you know, altered body. So is that really what he looks like? Like, is Vision really walking around looking like that and she's choosing to mask that with, you know, her powers? I don't know the answer. I'm just, again, that's why I've kind of given up trying to.
So I don't think she's manipulating his looks. I think he is, because he ran over, like, they keep showing that, like, when other people come in, like, Agnes comes in and he runs over and puts the pillow up to his face and he right. changes his look. And then later on in the episode, he comes down looking normal, looking like a normal husband. And she asks why. And then he says, well, because maybe somebody's going to drop in because we need something. Right. And of course, Agnes shows up. And then Wanda makes the dog collar right in front of her.
Right.
And they have that conversation. And she goes, maybe you don't need to look this way anymore. So if she could change him, she would. But she didn't, because she can't control him. I think whatever happened, if she's the one that, and we'll get to that in a second, but if she's the one that turned him alive again, I think that's all she could do. And now she can't control what he does, because he went to work and he took that guy, Norman. And he changed his mind back, right? He took him out of whatever hallucination he was in and then put him back in it.
Wait, Vision well, right. That. She's not control. Like, she brought him back to life with independent, you know, with his personality. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think she brought him back to life, like, as a puppet where she's controlling his every move. But I think she used her powers to bring him, to animate him inside of Westview. But I don't know, because if, why be there? You know, like, if she could have just brought him back to life, they could be anywhere. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, why be confined to one spot? Like, I feel like there's something there that's important to
right.
keeping him the way he is. Otherwise, like, if he could exist anywhere as, like, if she just brought him back to life, they could be anywhere.
Right. Yeah, you know? Why the bubble? Why
right.
any of
right.
this?
Why that? So I feel like I think he can only exist. Although, looking ahead to the previews for the next episode, it looks like he goes outside the bubble. So
right.
it kind of answers my own question there. But I feel like he has to be inside the bubble to, or at least she thinks he has to be inside the bubble
right.
to survive. Because that's the only reason to stay there.
Well, I'm wondering, did she... Now, here, let's get into... let's get into some speculation with what we know so far and what could possibly be coming. Did she create this bubble as a protection? Like, there's something going on the outside. Like, I can't let anybody else in. And it really has nothing to do with, what's his name there? It has nothing to do with name with Sword. I don't think it had director Tyler Hayward, I think his name is, who is a lot like General Ross in this,
right,
in his role here. Like, you know, military guy wants to just, you know, just shoot first, ask questions later. I don't think it has anything to do with that. And but I do have a question. Oh man, sidetrack here. This one, Joe and I had this conversation. Why was Vision at Sword? Why was his body at Sword? Shouldn't he be with he was an Avenger. He's Stark property. Why did Sword have him?
Because Sword is the acronym for Sword is sentient weapons something, something, something.
Right.
He is the definition of a sentient weapon. So I think, you know, like Stark is dead, right, at this point.
Yeah,
so
but he has.
I think that's just the logical. I think that's the logical place for him to have been.
But the Avengers are still together. They're still Avengers.
Right, but what do they want? What do they need his. Right, but what do they need
his
body for?
He's a fallen soldier. He was why would he be anywhere other than with them? He was never part of Sword. He was never anything. I think if she went in there, like all the information we have, and this is a discussion Joe and I had, it was like all the information we have about this comes from, you know, Director Hayward, which, you know, that guy's a liar anyways. He sent the drone in, didn't tell anybody it was weaponized, right? So you know he's not on the up and up, and he's the one telling you that, you know, Vision was just lying in state according to his last wishes, which that's not true. Sword's probably trying to weaponize him, and she probably went in to get him out of there so they couldn't do it. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
That's what I'm thinking, because it's
maybe
like,
she just wanted to recover his body to do
exactly
what she's doing. I don't know. Like, I feel like
I don't
it's
think
a logical
that she should have to go in and steal him. I think that the Avengers should be able to go, that's our guy. He died fighting with us. Why is he there? Now,
yeah,
granted,
like
he did die 5 years
to
ago too. Oh, here's
know. Yeah. I just
he
feel
died
like that's the
five
a logical
years ago.
Right, but I feel like that's a logical place for him to be. Like, he, you know, it's still like an anomaly to them, right? Like, at the end, he's just a machine. And they're, I'm sure, want to test, like, I don't know. Number one, maybe keep him from being taken by somebody else to be weaponized. But also to study and try to, you know, figure out what was going on there.
Yeah, but now that I think of it, like you said, Stark's dead, but Stark wasn't dead for the 5 years. So why is he in Sword? He should have been with the Avengers all along. Like, he died 5 years ago. He died before
the snap,
is,
like,
you
if,
know?
Right, but let's say Steve died. Tony Stark died, right?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't get buried in Avengers Tower. Like,
yeah, but he's also a person.
But right, but he would have been laid to rest somewhere, or like, they wouldn't just keep him mounted on the wall in Avengers Tower.
Yeah,
so,
but I'm not saying you would mount them on the wall. I'm just saying, why does Sword have him lying in state? Why can't he be lying within the Avengers Tower or wherever the Avengers are? Because he is Tony's property. When one of his Iron Men, one of his, what does he call them when they're just their own bots? Whatever.
Yeah, the drones or whatever.
The drones. Yeah, when they crash, they don't send them off to the military. You know, so for all intents and purposes, Vision is just a more sophisticated version of one of his bots. And
yeah,
you would have thought over the 5 years that they would, you know, at the beginning, they would have had him.
Right. But even if
there's something
he
missing,
was in even if he was in Avengers Tower, let's say, like, I don't think they would just Like, if Wanda just walked in and said, I want his body, I don't think they would just turn him over to her. Like, I think where he was is irrelevant. I think she would have gone in and taken him no matter where he was, you know?
Well, I don't think it's irrelevant at all. I mean, why he was with S.W.O.R.D., I think, is a good question, to be honest with you, because it's like, I mean, yes, it's part of the story that she went in to take him, but why did she have to go in and take him? Like I said to you before, is I don't think this entire story is going to come down to a grieving widow. That's not what this is about. She's up to more than that here. There's clearly sleight of hand going on, and especially when we get back to that Norman scene where he goes, she's manipulating us. She's the one doing this. And then Vision says to him, who? And he never says who. We're left to assume it's Wanda, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's who it was. It could be Agnes.
It could be. It could also be one of the theories I heard this week was the blonde from like episode 2. The one that's like they say she runs this whole town from
right.
the pool party or whatever. Who kind of disappeared after episode 2. But again, they said she runs this whole town.
Right.
So one of the theories I heard this week was that it was her that was
And that's supposed to be what Mephisto
could be anybody
in disguise.
I don't know.
I
don't buy into the Mephisto thing, honestly.
Really?
Like, I think of all the things it could be, Mephisto is the least likely. Now, again, I've been wrong before, but I feel like Mephisto is such a huge character to just be brought in that way. You know what I mean?
See, that's why I think he's going to be the big bad. I think that they're using him and. I mean, there are storylines that go along with it that match up, actually.
Well, but there's also one of the things I read this week was Kang the Conqueror. Because her stealing the body from S.W.O.R.D. is reminiscent of a story in the comics called Vision Quest, where Wanda breaks into a secure facility to steal his body. And it turns out all along that she was being manipulated by Kang.
Okay.
That has more plausibility to
me. That's possible.
Because we already know that Kang has been confirmed to be in the MCU.
Right.
So I think that theory is a little bit more plausible. Although, again, we were told he was going to debut in Ant-Man. So if he appears in this show, that's a big surprise, obviously. But I have a hard time believing it's Mephisto just because I think... It's too big of a thing to just spring up at the end of this show.
Right.
But, you know, again, obviously I could be wrong.
There's many
theories. I didn't think Luke Skywalker would show up in Mandalorian either. So.
But we also weren't looking for that. And that's what's fun about this one is we're looking for anything. We're looking for everything. Right.
Well, we kind of were because in two episodes before the finale of Mandalorian, we knew there was a Jedi coming. We just said there's no way it's going to be Luke.
Right.
And, you know, so we know I agree that there's still something else going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. But I and it's proven in this episode, you know, that what I said last week is true. Like she is. Fully conscious and aware that she is in a make-believe reality.
But I also believe she doesn't know why. That, I think, is interesting. There are times, because she goes, I don't remember why this, how this started.
Right.
And now, is she saying that because it got out of hand? Or is she saying, like, she doesn't remember? Like, we get why Vision doesn't remember. Because when they had their little face-off there, when they both floated, and he says, like, I don't even remember my life before here.
Right.
Well, because it's been he died. And so now he got rebooted, and now everything starts up again because his memory's been wiped of everything previous. So we have that. But everything that's going on in the town, what about her coming, when she came out, you notice she has her accent again.
Yes, I did notice that.
I thought that was pretty cool. I thought that was a great scene. She was a badass there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they wanted her to come off as evil. But I think that's a slight, I think that's one of those, like, we're going to, you know, 180 you on that by the end of this. Because if, you know, she goes back in and everything she's teaching her boys, everything she's doing with Vision is the exact opposite portrayal of what she portrayed on the outside.
Right.
Right? Because she came off as, like, don't mess with me. And, I mean, I love what Monica says, where she's protecting people. Because she could have taken over all of Jersey, but she just took over, or she, the bubble only takes up the town.
Well, to go back to that, yeah, because I didn't get to answer your question when you brought that up the first time. Why the bubble? I think it's just because it's a fixed point of geography. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Her powers aren't infinite. Like, I think it's just, I can control this, you know, 10 square miles of town or what have you. I can't control all of New Jersey, you know? So
right.
I think the bubble is just to contain what she's doing because, you know, you can only do so much. But I also, like, there are things happening inside of there that I think she's not in control of.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't think she's necessarily in control of what's happening with her sons.
No, not at all.
She seems genuinely surprised by the aging and all of that stuff that's going on. And I don't think she's responsible for Pietro.
No. She's shocked.
Because she was just as surprised as everybody else to see him at the door.
Right. Now, whoever is in charge,
right?
Why did they bring the wrong one?
Well, is it even him? Is it even Pietro? Like, it could be anything.
She says it.
Right, but that doesn't mean it's really him. Like, maybe it's Mephisto in disguise, or maybe
you know what I mean? Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, like, we don't even know what's going on there yet.
Right, but then,
you know?
Again...
She might not be he might not be Quicksilver the X-Man, is what I'm saying. It you know, could just be Pietro.
Right, but then if whoever it is, say it is somebody in disguise, why did they pick the wrong disguise?
And, yeah, I don't know.
And the fact that I read this week, too, that the MCU is very clear that is what's his name in real life? The actor.
Evan Peters?
Yes, Evan Peters. And it's the Quicksilver from the X-Men series, because I guess that if you put on the what is it? The not subtitles, but like audio enhanced.
Uh-huh.
Like it for I don't know, if you're blind or something and you're watching the show, mm-hmm. It tells you in that it's the Quicksilver from the X-Men series. So they're specifically stating that, you know, and it's in actually, you know, Disney actually, or the MC Marvel actually put that in the show. So it's why? And like,
well,
how
again,
are they gonna...
could that just be because if you need that visual reference because you're impaired, that it's just because it makes it easier for you to know who it is? Like, that could still change next week in the
Oh, yeah. No, I know. But yeah. Why are they doing that? Why are they bringing that in? They're mixing. Is it going to be a multi? Clearly, we're going into the multiverse here because it's the title of Doctor Strange. But what, like, what's going to happen next? And
even her reaction, right? Because she shouldn't know who that is, right? Because it's not her brother necessarily.
Unless she had the feel. Like,
but that's the whole thing.
Like,
she instantly
accepts
him as Pietro.
But
even
with
though,
a question. She even says it like, Pietro?
Right. But, you know, she shouldn't really recognize him because it's not Aaron Taylor Thomas or whatever his name is from you know, her universe. It was like she instantly knew who it was regardless.
Right. Joe had a great point right away. He goes, didn't that movie take place in the 80s? And it did.
Yeah, it was X-Men First Class. Yeah, it definitely was in the 80s.
It was in the
80s. Yeah, that's right, because they went to the mall and stuff. Yeah, I remember that.
So, and this episode was in the 80s. So, does that have anything to do with it? Like, they just brought him into the 80s, because you know how, like, when you bring something in, it turns into the 80s.
Right.
So, is that possible? Because
that's the 80s version of Quicksilver.
Yeah. Isn't that what, like, it, could it be, how disappointing would that be? Like, we think we're getting the, but it's like, eh, because they weren't even born until 89, as they told you in the bio on her. Right. How about that when they ask, like, does she have any, like, code names? Any weird names? Like,
no funny nicknames.
No funny nicknames?
Because, I never realized that until this week, that they never referred to her as Scarlet Witch. You know,
none of them,
like,
do.
She
none
actually of... never, yeah, yeah, she never had a name, you know? It was always just Wanda.
Yeah, so. But I don't believe, what's her name? Scarlett Johansson, I don't think they ever call her Black Widow.
No, they just call her Nat. But they
Hawkeye,
do call Steve Captain America.
Well,
they
yeah,
do
but
call
Iron Man.
Iron Man, Iron
Hawkeye
Man.
Hawkeye has never been called Hawkeye.
Yeah.
The closest he came to it was in the first Avengers movie when the doctor down on the bot at the opening scene, he goes, oh, the Hawk? And he points up to the rafters. And then he calls his daughter Hawkeye when he says, nice shot, Hawkeye. And that's at the beginning of Endgame, I believe. But, yeah, other than that, that they don't really get their names.
Right.
So the main characters obviously do, Thor and, you know, of course.
Well, Thor's Thor. That's his name.
Well, yeah, but that's like, you know, Captain America, same thing. Steve Rogers, Captain America. So that doesn't really surprise me. So, but I thought that was just a funny way they did it. It's, I don't know. I don't, there's so much. We say it every week.
Yeah, well, and there's other things, too. Like, I picked up on, like, the missile that they sent in on the drone was a Stark missile.
Oh, was it?
Which, yeah.
I didn't even see the missile.
Which goes back to...
I just saw the drone.
She dragged it out, right?
That's just the drone, though, wasn't it?
I thought I saw Stark on it.
Oh, okay. I'll have to look at that again.
I'll look again. Maybe I'm wrong, but I read this too. But
they're
fire
a missile at her, and that's
but
what she was pissed
the
about?
Beginning of the. But that ties back to the beginning of her origins, right? Because her and her family were killed by the Stark missile, and then here it almost happened again to her and her new family. So, and then the commercial. Did you catch what was going on in the commercial for the paper towels?
Yeah, Lagos.
Lagos, yeah.
Yeah. Which she blew up.
Right.
That's where she blew up the building.
Right, that's the town that she blew up. But then, like, the tagline at the end was, like, Lagos, for when you make a mess that you didn't really mean to or something like that.
Right, yeah.
but again, that's subtle, right? Like, not everybody picks up on that stuff. So,
no,
I thought
I got
that was really cool. Yeah.
I thought that was cool, and I liked how they made it seem the way, what's his name there, the director, made it seem like she's been bad all along, all right? Like he said, like, yeah, she used to be fighting the Avengers, then she joined them, and then we get Lagos, we get this, and, you know, he's like, what is she doing? But then go back and watch Age of Ultron and the opening scene, they're like, no, the twins aren't ready yet. There was a plan in place for them to be go against the Avengers. And they kept saying they're not ready yet, they're not ready yet. But then there was also a scene where they say, oh, where it's Ultron. It was the first time the twins, Pietro and her, meet Ultron, and he looks at Pietro and goes, you and I, this is Ultron speaking, you and I, we can create some damage, but she can damage them from the inside.
Right.
And now at the time when you hear that now, you're like, in add that into this episode, you're like, oh, was she supposed to infiltrate the Avengers? Was that their plan all along?
Right.
It's like, now I don't believe it was. It was just, it's because it's very interesting watching Age of Ultron play out again, and you're like, oh, maybe this is it. This is what this means. But then by the time Age of Ultron plays out, you know, Pietro literally dies trying to save, you know, Hawkeye and trying, you know, they're literally working with the Avengers and risking their lives. So I don't think that that's what it was. But there are a lot of nuggets as you go through there that are pretty cool.
Right. Yeah, I mean, again, we talked about this earlier. You know more than I, because I probably
watched it. Yeah.
Yeah, I probably haven't seen that movie in 5 years or so. So
I got to say, though, it is better now.
Yeah.
It's like, that was my least favorite of the Avenger movies.
Right.
I don't think
it holds more weight, though.
Yeah, it doesn't change the ranking, but it makes it a better, more intriguing movie because you're looking for stuff like that, and it you know, and that's what we were saying earlier. What WandaVision is doing, it's changing the MCU and making you go back and look at all of these things, and hopefully they do. I hope they do that with the other shows as well. Maybe not to this degree, but I'm sure there'll be a few other things coming. But
all right.
What did you? I haven't seen the trailer for this week's episode.
Yeah, it's out.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I saw it. The other thing too is, did they kind of low key set up some beef between Monica and Carol?
Yes,
because they
you
there
noticed
was
that too.
Yeah, I did. Her, you know, Carol's name came out because you know they had that debate about you know. Who could take out Thanos or whatever? Something I forget exactly how it came up, but
yeah,
Carol's name came up and she said quickly was like, "Don't bring her up" or something like that. So,
right
now I'm like, "Well, what happened there?" Because we don't know what the history, you know, last as far as we know, the last time they saw each other, she was 8 years old. So,
right, but we also didn't know S.W.O.R.D. existed,
right,
and we didn't know she was working with S.W.O.R.D.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. You know, something's happened that they, again, nothing is done by accident, so.
Right.
That's going to come back somehow.
It was subtle, but not subtle.
Right.
Right? Like, the other thing is who's the astrophysicist that she knows?
Reed Richards.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I said to Joe, I'm like, it's got to be Fantastic Four. It's got to be, they're pulling them all in. Now, does he come in?
I don't know if he comes into this, but I think they could be setting up, like, let's say they're off world and on
right.
a mission for S.W.O.R.D. and they get called back because of, say, this show.
Right.
And then on their way back, they go through the cosmic rays and become the Fantastic Four.
Right.
You know, who knows?
Well, but, like when Captain Marvel was coming out, what a lot of fans were saying is, well, this takes place in the 90s, early, not mid 90s. Where has she been all this time? How are they going to do that? And of course they did it successfully, right. Explained it. And now with the introduction of S.W.O.R.D., we can bring in this whole universe of X-Men characters, Fantastic Four. They've all been working elsewhere doing other things.
Right.
The one thing I was wondering if they were going to bring in the new X-Men storyline. You think they'll use that in the movies?
The new, you talking about from the comics?
Yeah.
Like Ten of Swords stuff or like House of X stuff?
House of X.
Yeah.
I was wondering because that would be a way with the House of X storyline. That would, because there's a great separation there.
Right.
Right. So that would, if they introduce that storyline into the MCU, that would be why the X-Men have been separated and we haven't seen them.
It could be. But again, you know, because I've said similar things, too. We're all kind of going under the assumption that they have to have some situation to introduce the X-Men into the universe. And I don't think that's necessarily true. Like, they could have been there all along and we just haven't met them yet.
Right,
you know,
just like S.W.O.R.D. Right.
Right, like they don't have to have this event like Wanda reversing House of M or something to introduce
right.
mutants. Like they could have been there all along, and like they just haven't met yet. Every movie we meet a new character for the you know in the MCU, and it's just because
right.
we just met them. You know, it's like they were still there the whole time. So.
Right, we just met them. The characters might even already know who they are.
Exactly.
You know,
the Avengers might have already been keeping tabs on the X-Men. They just haven't felt the need to talk about it yet. You know?
Right.
So, who knows? But that's the other question. You know, does bringing in Evan Peters as Quicksilver, you know, does that open the door for them to bring in the rest of the old cast?
And well, that's the rumor. Magneto might show up.
Of course it does open that door, but I don't think Marvel wants to bring that cast back. You know, right. Like Pietro is one thing, but bringing back Jean and Cyclops and Wolverine, like, I don't think they're interested in going down that road. And I don't know if all those actors are interested in doing it again either. So,
so if Hugh Jackman shows up in WandaVision, would that be the Luke Skywalker event?
Well, it could be. I mean, it definitely would be, right?
Would you say that was bigger than Luke Skywalker?
I don't know. I don't think anything's bigger than that.
Really?
That's a tough one to top, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm even bringing in Magneto or Hugh Jackman into this, I don't think has... They don't have the same cultural touchstones as Luke Skywalker does. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Luke goes back, you know, for... I mean, not that Wolverine as a character does... I mean, the character Wolverine goes way back, too, but not the Hugh Jackman version. Like, it's... He's not right. as culturally iconic as Luke Skywalker is.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Luke goes back over 40 years. So.
Yeah. So I just don't think anything would resonate as strongly as that did. But it's not to downplay that it still wouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I don't know. There was something else that was that you had just mentioned about Carol and something else I wanted to bring up. There's so much, like I said, there's so much, and you forget half the stuff.
Yeah. And again, we talk about it longer than the episode lasts, but, and we still don't cover most of it.
Well, but that's know? What I mean. It's like, people that, like, you couldn't have been more right when you said, like, the people that are going to binge watch this, you're like, you're really missing the fun. Because yeah. I can't even get through an episode when I'm watching it with Joe without pausing it.
Right.
It's like, never mind, you know, binge watch. Imagine what it would be like if you had to. Not had to binge, but you're binge watching it, you'd still sit down and be like, all right, what did we just digest
right.
before we get into the next one? I think you'd honestly, I think you'd miss a lot by going through it really quickly because there's so many little things that need to be broken
well,
down.
Well, you definitely wouldn't rewatch episodes multiple times before you move on to the next one.
Right.
You know, which I don't right. do necessarily, but I know like you've probably watched it more than once.
Yeah, I watched it three times.
Yeah, and see, I've
pretty
only seen it
pretty much three times an episode.
Yeah, but you wouldn't do that if you were binging it.
Right.
Because there's no need to. You know, your questions just get answered the next, you know, as soon as you hit play. So.
But I also think there's going to be stuff that has ramifications coming up that maybe we don't know yet. Like, for instance, that one that we just talked about with Carol. And... You know, they were talking, I thought that was pretty cool too. I would argue that, you know, Captain Marvel almost took him down too.
Right. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. So
she said, don't bring her into this or something like that. But
yeah. Yeah. It was very, but the look on her face.
Yeah. It was very curt. Like, I don't want to talk about her.
I don't even want to talk about that. Oh, that's what I wanted to bring up. Is she already Photon, or did she become Photon when Wanda sent her through the wall?
I don't know. I heard that, too. Somebody, I read that somewhere or something, too.
Joe mentioned it possible. To me, and I said she could already be Photon, though, because she's with S.W.O.R.D. She's working with S.W.O.R.D. They said she was grounded, but they didn't necessarily say she was a pilot,
right.
Which is very much, that's a lot like what they did with Falcon there. What's his name? And remember, he said, I never said I was a pilot.
Right.
You know, he got shot down. He didn't say I was a
right.
pilot.
Well, it could be, right, because
so
she,
is she already Photon? Does she have...
mentioned that she had been doing space missions. So
right.
Right, yeah, she could be. We just don't
and that's
know.
Why she has maybe a little bit of a thing. With, you know, she has a competition with her. Maybe they just... Right. Whatever, they work together and they didn't hit it off or something, or they have some history right now.
Right.
I don't think they're enemies. But and when they took the x-rays of her, they were trying to read her, you know, they had that machine on her and they're like, I think it's broken. Everything's blank. So nothing, you know, she's not, they're not getting readings off of her. Her blood samples aren't reading right. So either she was already Photon and she isn't telling anybody there, or this is where she becomes it.
Right.
So I thought that was pretty cool. All right. Anything else?
I don't think so.
It's been a late one.
Yeah.
A long kryptonite. Pretty good. All righty then.
Yep.
That should do it then. Till next week. I can't wait for episode 6 coming.
It'll be 6.
Well, as you're hearing this, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
So, yep. Looking forward to it. All righty. That'll do it. We're out of here.
Take care, everyone.